Hello, folks, and welcome back to another one of our political chats. This time we're going to be talking about everyone's favourite and most pressing topic, the local elections.
Oh, yes.
No one cares about local elections, but the political class are really invested in local elections because people view it as a kind of bellwether.
Well, this one kind of matters because they're all disintegrating. But as we've seen from our polls over the past few weeks, all of the shows that we've done, you can tell that reform is in first place, but after that, it's just pure guesswork.
Well, the political commentariats are not wrong in that there is a kind of bellwether effect in this, and this is what we will be looking at. So these are the local councils that are going to be having elections. For some reason, in England, it's not national. It's just not done all at once. It's a rotating thing, so some councils have it, but the rest will have it in a different year.
Yeah,
I don't know why. It just, no one cares about local elections. I mean, I literally, no one cares.
I can see my area's in it. Is Swindon in it?
Swindon is in it. You can see it there in the southwest and the northeast of Wiltshire.
Oh,
okay. Great Yarmouth is also in it. For some reason, it doesn't seem to be picked up on this map, but we'll get back to that later. Anyway, so as I said, like, literally no one votes in these. In 2024, 30%. Was the average voter turnout?
Yeah, but an opinion poll is maybe 2,000 people.
Sure.
This is going to be hundreds of thousands of people. So it's going to be better than any opinion poll.
It will still be millions. I mean, it'll be about 10 million people who vote.
Yes.
Because out of 30 million who could possibly vote. But it just goes to show you that this is just not, for some reason, something that the general public is particularly interested in, which is weird because this is actually far more proximal to them.
Yes,
this is actually a lot more important to your life, and on a day-to-day basis, who controls your local council will really matter. So, for example, let's take Birmingham as an example of local councils that were captured by Labour, run into the ground, and bankrupted the city. Right.
Well, there was that, yes.
Rubbish piling up on the streets, rats infesting the city, everyone going around, turning Tom Swarbrick right wing. Right, there is actually a real issue when it comes to local councils and the way that things are done, and it would actually be better to have people who are actually good and responsible in those local councils.
When you put it like that, I see what you're saying. I mean, something like 80 to 90% of council budgets are pre-spoken for. They're mandatory spending. You must spend it on adult social care, and you must do this, and you must do that. But actually, there is a lot of ruin in the last 10%.
There is, and it would be useful to have very good people around you. Anyway, so this is how things were in 2022 compared to what it looks like in 2026, as in the polling. So as you can see, back in 2022, 40% of councillors were Labour, 34% were Conservative, 10% were Lib Dem, 6% were Greens, and 2% were Reform. And of course, things have changed. In fact, we've got a much more granulated one in the Times here, so we can see how the thing has shifted. Now, this is really interesting.
It is.
Because I didn't really notice how things had changed. So if you go back to 2015, you've got about 60 or two-thirds of the council elections being Labour and Tory.
Yes.
So you can see the complete hegemony of the uniparty.
Well, you can see that's the politics we're used to, which is a 2.5-party system. It's the Tories, it's Labour, and it's a little bit of Lib Dems, and then just a smattering of other things. And that is the political environment we've all come up on. It's the only political environment that the Westminster pundits understand. But I mean, as I'm sure you're about to say, if you look at the bottom, it's just all over the place.
Upon the ascension of Keir Starmer, that completely collapsed.
Where did he come in now? Was it?
It was 2024.
2024.
It was late 2024.
God, he got to work quickly, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Because he had the Southport riots.
Look at that. If you were to take the finest political minds of our generation, put them in charge of the Labour Party and say, you need to destroy this party as quickly and as comprehensively as possible, I doubt they could have done a better job than Keir Starmer did.
But I don't think it's necessarily Keir Starmer's fault, because as you see, the Conservative vote also collapsed.
Well, again,
so it's actually the unit. I think what actually happened was that the moment was pregnant with the possibility of something else. And Farage just happened to be the right person at the right time to capture that wind in his sails. So I mean, the Unity Party in 2025 was getting 35%, and Farage himself was just getting 30%. So you can see this is a massive swing, but as you can see, the prediction is it's gone down because Farage has been losing his edge.
And the Greens.
Yep. For no matter what you think of Polanski, he's doing a good job of summoning the faithful.
This has been a breakout year for them because they tottered around that sort of 10-something percent for a long time, between 10 and 13%. And then this year, they've really gone for it, haven't they?
Yeah, and you can't deny that they've been effective campaigners.
No.
What happens when they're in charge is going to be a different kettle of fish entirely.
Camps, probably. Camps for us.
Well, definitely camps for us, but also just collapse.
Right, yes.
Money is going to be wasted on ridiculous things. Things are going to get far worse, more quickly. And if you're an accelerationist, maybe you're not against that.
Well, I mean, I'll tell that to my wife and kids as we're being rounded off into the camp. I'll say, look, don't worry too much because the camp guards won't be getting paid for very long. And we can probably just walk out in a few weeks and hopefully we won't find a family of Libyans in our house when we get back.
Yeah. Another thing I thought was interesting on this was the collapse of UKIP, actually. As you can see, in 2015, they had 13%, then 2016, 12%. And 2017, they had, about 5, 6%? And then 2018, they collapsed entirely. This is a bit self-serving, I point this out, because I stood for UKIP in 2019. So they were pretty much a dead party by then, at least.
Yeah, you still get a lot of flack for it. But
I know.
Yeah.
But I wasn't the person who killed the party. They'd already died. Before that. But anyway.
When did they chuck Gerald Batten out? Because that was when I was like, yeah, I've had enough.
I think it was in 2020, 2021.
Okay.
I think it was 2020 they chucked him out. And that's when I was like, okay.
I couldn't be bothered with him after that.
Because the thing is, Gerald Batten had a kind of proto-Rupert Lowe energy about him. As in he was like, look, I don't care, and I'm standing on the point that is correct.
Yes.
And that's what we've been needing for a long time, is someone who's just like, I don't care about your answers. And that's why Zach Polanski's doing so well, by the way.
Oh, he doesn't care either.
Exactly. He doesn't care either. He just says, no, that's the sort of thing they would say, vote for us, join our party, vote for us. And look, they're doing great.
Right? Well, I mean, not only does he not care about what his opponents say about him, he doesn't care about the facts of reality either, which makes him doubly effective with the young leftists, because he can just say, look, I've imagined a utopia.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be nice? And all the young leftists are like, yeah, that would be nice. Let's vote for that.
And you don't need to listen to those people who are being critical of me.
No. So, or every historical example ever for all of the things that he's advocating.
Completely correct.
Yes.
But the connection between politics and reality is actually not what's important there, right? What's important is the perception of people. And what Zach Palance, that's what he's manipulating, is people's perceptions about the things that might happen. And this is why you appealing to the Khmer Rouge or whoever makes no effect on them whatsoever. As far as they're concerned, that's communism as it interacts with reality. They're talking about communism as it interacts with their utopian fantasy.
Yes.
So the reality has just got no connection to what they believe. And Zach Polanski is literally leveraging this, saying, don't worry about what they say. Yes. We don't care. We're going towards the utopia.
It makes it a bit difficult to argue against, because you're sat there giving, you know, how the world actually works, reality, historical examples, all that kind of stuff. And they're like, yes, but I can imagine the perfect world.
Yes.
And I want it.
Yes.
And you're standing in the way of me getting my perfect world, you meanie.
Yeah, that's exactly what they think. And exactly why I don't think there's anything actually to worry about with the Greens. Because that might be
apart from camps and
I don't think they're going to get to a point where they put us in camps, just because I think that even if a quarter of the population is like, yeah, I'm a delusional lunatic, and I think that I can just leap off this cliff, and if I believe hard enough I can fly, I think the remaining three quarters are going to be like, okay, this guy's a delusional lunatic who thinks he can fly if he jumps off a cliff.
I mean, hopefully you're right. It's not impossible to imagine a scenario where the Greens are the largest party on the left and do a coalition with Labour and the Lib Dems or something. I mean, I suppose that will hold them back a bit, but
I imagine Ed Davey, for all of his faults, is probably not up for death camps for right-wingers.
Well, I don't think they'll lead with that policy. They'll lead with all of the other nonsense, but it will get you there.
Yeah, so another point that the Times make in this is that basically, look, Labour have lost London. I can't remember where. There we are. Labour are losing London.
Labour losing London.
Which is remarkable, but they've lost Wales as well, not just in the locals.
When is the next mayoral election for London? Because that should be going to a Greek next, shouldn't it?
I think it's in a couple of years. So I think Sadiq Khan is going to sit there for a long time. But the Greens are doing very well in the cities because, of course, that's where idiotic leftists and immigrants live. Yeah. And Reform have been taking over Labour in the north and the Conservatives in the southern shires. But they've caught up to where we are. Yep, Reform's lead is shrinking. That is true. And so all of this is just numbers in flux, right? So what does it actually map out to in the number of councillors that are actually won?
Yep.
Because there are something like 4,500 councillors that can be, council seats that can be won. And here's a more in common series of estimates, right? Now, the low estimates, they've got Reform on 1,273, Greens on...
Gains.
Yep. 1,273. Greens gaining 573, Lib Dems 148, Labour losing 1,867, the Conservatives losing nearly 700.
That seems fair. That doesn't seem like an unsurprising result.
No, but that would still be Reform underperforming.
Right, okay.
Right? So Reform, the middle estimate they've got here, Reform are hoping to win over 2,000 seats, like 2,500 seats, something like that. But it doesn't look like they're going to. Right? And this, again, is a measure of it being a bellwether for how is the public mood on this party. So as you can see, the sort of middling estimate is Reform getting 1,400 seats, Green getting nearly 1,000 seats, and Labour and the Conservatives still getting trashed. But look at the high estimate that they're using there. Greens on 1,700 and Reform on 1,600. Now, if Gorton and Dent...
Yes, I was just thinking that.
...is anything to go by, Reform actually have been running quite negative campaigns. Like, what's actually the positive message of Reform?
You're going to have to help me on that one.
I actually don't know.
Okay, I don't know.
Farage has looked kind of like a beaten, henpecked housewife or something recently. Kind of lacking all the colour in his face and he hasn't had his swagger recently. Right?
No, I mean, I see what you mean. I mean, every time I see Zach Polanski on the TV, he's beaming. He is so happy. He's enjoying himself thoroughly, promoting his utopian vision.
He's out doing some sort of acid house rave or something.
Something like that. Something weird, or gay dancing on the stage or whatever it is. But he's incredibly happy about all of it. And Hannah Spencer wins and she does her dance dressed as a CBP presenter. But every time I see Reform, I just see them on the back foot. I mean, Farage doing his wrong thing, barking at a reporter or arguing, but it's all incredibly defensive.
Yes. Very negative.
Yes.
And like I say, he seems kind of henpecked by the media because he didn't take the strong move straight out of the gate. When he was on 30%, he just said, look, don't care about what the media says. You're the enemy as far as I'm concerned. Just like Zach Polanski does, by the way, just like Trump did. Mm. You should have declared them the enemy and not given them any of his time. He's already on 30%.
Well, that would have been a clever strategy because the media are largely his enemy.
Yes.
However, he came up with something even better than that. What he came up with is he's going to pander to the media who don't like him, and he's then going to turn around to the online right who do like him, and he's going to try and purge them, make it perfectly clear that they are his enemy and that he is going to give them absolutely nothing of what they want.
That is precisely what he did.
Yes.
And how's it working out for him? I mean, we can see that's not the best strategy ever. Again, when you've got to this point where you've got 30% back in October 2025, right? That should have been the time when Farage should have just gone hard on basically everything, right? He should have said, no, the media are the enemy. We are going to do all of the things that you are worried that I'm going to do. I am, the Simpsons thing, press the button and it's like, yes, evil Farage comes out. You know, we're going to just fix all of that. He should have done what basically Rupert Lowe is doing now, right?
I mean, what did he think that, I mean, this bit along here, when he's going up like that, what did he think those people thought they were getting?
Well, that's me being really kind and moderate with the media and them not writing hit piece after. No, they were calling you a fascist the whole time.
Yes.
They were calling you a Nazi. This was literally where they were saying, like, look, Nigel Farage was a Nazi in school.
Yes.
Where he was constantly, like, telling that Jewish kid he was going to send him to a gas chamber or something.
And that made his polls go up.
Yes.
But then he decided, I can't take any risks. What I need to do is arrive at the next election by appealing to as many of my enemies as possible.
Yes.
And that...
Disavowing then, all of my allies.
Yeah, and that then started going down.
Yes. That is precisely what he did, and that was precisely the wrong strategy. Once you've got to the lead in the polls, the media can't not cover you, right? Mm. They always cover you unfairly anyway. They've done it for your entire career. Mm. Stop trying to placate them and just literally, like Trump, use judo flip them with their own strength. So, yeah, no, here's the headline. Farage is going to deport every single person in Britain or something, right? And so the country will be completely cleared out. And it'll be like, oh, my God, Farage is going to deport everyone in Britain. And those people who want that, which is the majority of the population, who wants lower immigration and for millions of these immigrants to go home, will hear that and go, brilliant, finally.
Trump used to do that so well.
Build a wall, make Mexico pay for it. It's on all the headlines.
He used to say something slightly ambiguous that could easily be misinterpreted, but at its core was something where it was like, yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
And then he used to let the media come out with the most hysterical representation of it possible, which basically just dismissed their arguments in their own making.
Yes.
While at the same time communicating to the low salience voters is like, oh, well, yeah, I like that. And all the other stuff he did.
He allowed the media to get trapped in the noise.
Yes.
But the signal always came through. I'm against mass immigration.
That's it.
I'm a nativist. I'm in favor of the average American. You know, that was the signal always came through, and Farage has failed to understand this strategy. And so he's been under a lot of pressure from the right recently. Sorry, what? Reform says it will deport up to 400,000 asylum seekers. Sorry, that sounds like mass deportations, Nigel.
The thing that he told us was literally impossible.
The thing that Bo literally got kicked out of the party for.
Yes.
Right. Sorry, you have already disavowed all of this, Nigel. What are you doing? Oh, you're going to create pop-up detention centres? What, remigration centres? Like, this is hardline right-wing theorising on Twitter that they're popping out now.
And the thing is, you know he's not, because the moment he creates the first pop-up detention centre, the left are going to protest it. They're going to put memes on Twitter of this detention centre with swastikas on it, and he's going to back down immediately like he always has every single time.
And if back in October 2025 he'd just taken the leap then and just made it, basically inoculated himself against media smears. So, yeah, I'm the right-wing party, you're terrible, and everyone hates you, and everyone can tell you're terrible. He would have been able to do basically anything, say anything he wanted, and none of it would have mattered in the same way that it did with Trump.
But instead, he was sitting down with Steve Edgington and saying it's impossible to deport people and the Tories will be to my right by the time of the next election. He specifically positioned himself to the left of the mass immigration Tory party.
Oh, it's so bizarre, isn't it? And then he brings in the mass immigration Tories into his own party and wonders why everything's going south. I mean, you know, he'd come out and say, like, you know, he posted this just the other day. Just listen to this.
You say migrants in hotels should be deported. Mm-hmm. Where should they be deported to if their country isn't safe or if another country won't accept them?
I'm sorry, I've had enough of this. If you come from Afghanistan, you go back to Afghanistan. And
Robert Jemrick doesn't believe you.
Literally,
your second in command is the guy who's like, no, we need to bring in the Afghanis. We have an obligation to this. So
only shortly before Robert Jenrick joined his party, he was writing articles saying, I'm proud that I brought in, 24,000 nominally Afghans, but they all get to bring family. So it was something like 180,000 Afghans. He says, I'm proud of this.
Exactly. And so Nigel is signalling as a nativist because of the pressure that I think is coming from his right.
Yes.
And you see this in their social media game as well. Well, this is a weird exchange, isn't it? So Basil here has been like, Reform announced they will only deport 5 years of illegal migrants. Weak source again from Reform. And Reform, the official party platform on Twitter, has retweeted again. Well, this is fake news. As per Nigel Farage's tweet, our announcement is on top of the 600,000 illegals we're already deport. Okay, so now you've realised that you need to get into the muck with the online right. Because before, you were just like, we don't need you. We have the mainstream media.
Yes.
You are pointless to us. Out you go. And after the polls start dipping, suddenly they're like, oh, no, we need to go and actually stitch this up and make sure that people realise that we're not actually bleeding from our right flank here. Right? We have to actually start fending off the attacks from the right, because it's become apparent that there is teeth in them, that they have something that stings, that is actually having an effect. So now, like I said, they're getting down in the muck with us and having an online wrestling match with us. And it's like, okay, well, how do you think that's going? that's all we've got. That's literally our speciality. Being down in the muck on Twitter with us.
It's what we do.
Basil just gave it to him, right? Basil, I mean, look, just, you know, everyone, like, just, you've said it's impossible. You know this, you're not going to be deporting their women and children as well. You know that this is all the problem, blah, blah, blah.
Well, he said he wouldn't report the women and children as well, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. And he's just like, the truth is, I mean, he's just absolutely ruining them. And of course, he's got the clips to show it, right?
Yeah. So
right.
It's a
political impossibility.
You know, all of that, and then him is.
I was very, very clear yesterday in what I said. That the deportation of illegal immigrants, we were not even discussing women and children at this stage. There were so many illegal males in Britain.
Just, Basil has all the receipts, obviously. And so they're just getting ruined in their own replies. Completely ruined. Because this is just not the place for you, right?
You can't maintain two positions simultaneously. Well, it's not even simultaneously. The position that he said when he thought that he was untouchable, that's probably the position he believes.
Yeah, I think so.
Which is, we're not going to do deportations, and we are most certainly not going to deport even the illegal women and children, because that's just mean. You wouldn't do that. A woman at Sky News might get, you know, upset.
The Guardian are going to write some strongly worded opinion pieces.
But now he's trying to claim the complete opposite when he is under pressure. It's like, well, yeah, I don't believe you.
Yeah, but it's interesting how they felt the pinch. And now they're turning on Basil or whoever else it is, right? They can tell this is an acknowledgement that we are a real and present danger to them, and they know it, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, there is going to be a Farage wave. Everyone knows there's a Farage wave because, of course, they're his candidates. Like, a bunch of these will probably be from Afghanistan. Like, sorry, Nigel, what? It's just not persuasive to us to think that you're like, no, if you come from Afghanistan, you're going back to Afghanistan. Well, I mean, I'd be totally up for that if I believed it. I think you're going to put them in a position of power.
Well, I mean, that is exactly what he's trying to do with these elections.
Yes. He's just constantly, non-stop, putting up foreigners as candidates. And I just don't mean, not people who are like born in Britain but are not white. I mean people who are just not born in Britain. Like, this should be illegal. He should be campaigning.
Literal Boris waivers in some cases. In some cases, illegal migrants.
Yep.
There's that guy. I think it's that guy in Portsmouth who's an illegal migrant.
Was that guy an illegal? Was he right?
I think they gave him indefinite leave to remain in the end, but he arrived as an illegal. It's like, okay, well, yeah, if he can be a candidate.
Yeah, and then like you've got women like this. I mean, I'm sure she's a lovely woman, but I just can't understand what she's saying.
Hi, my name is Basil Williams. I am one of the three reform candidates for Hazelbury Ward. Please, on May the 7th, on election day, remember to vote for all the reform candidates, three of us votes.
I followed as far as hi, I am.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, where was it? Hazelbury Ward, right, okay.
Okay.
The point is, she's still got an insanely thick, like, Nigerian accent or whatever.
Yes.
And this is what Farage has taken over all of the patriots on the right. And now he's scrapping online with all the patriots in defense of people who are literal foreigners that he's promising to deport.
I mean,
just
18 months ago, he could have come on this show. We would have had him on for the podcast, and he could have put an appeal out. And amongst our audience, he could have got enough candidates.
Thousands.
Yeah.
Thousands.
But instead, he told us to do one. He constantly attacked us. And as a result, he can't get candidates. So he's basically taking anyone who's just a bit bored.
I mean, I don't think these people are here for the long term, and I think that a lot of them are doing it because it's a way of getting money, frankly.
Yeah, because, councillors get, what is it, 12, 14, 16 grand a year?
It's different, depending. I mean, up to 26, I think.
Oh, really?
But also, what it does is it gives you access to government funding, right? And if you're sending money home, and then maybe you're just going to go yourself.
Mm.
It's like the student loan scam that's currently going on, where you get, like, God only knows how many immigrants come over. They can apply for student loans, and if they just leave the country, you'll never get that money back. So, like, it's a system that's completely wide open for exploitation. I'm not saying that this particular woman is doing that, but there are going to be lots of people who are doing that.
Yep.
And so what Nigel Farage's response to all of this isn't to actually say, okay, no, base patriots, I do need your help. It's say, no, the base patriots are bad and are racist, and they're currently insulting my minority candidates.
I would add that the online abuse on X that our minority candidates are receiving is utterly appalling in every way. And if it was happening to any other candidates from more established parties in the sense of their age, you would all be in total uproar. And I've not heard a single person comment on it. It really, really is bad. And X is now becoming a very unpleasant and very dangerous place.
Yeah, that's the Nigel that I'm used to attacking the online right.
That sounds like something that Zach Polanski would say.
There's no reason at all why a party that presents itself as being a nationalist party should, you know, be fielding people who are from this nation. I mean, you know, clearly. I mean, what are we all thinking?
I mean, I can't explain. Like, this is the Ed Davey position on Twitter, on X. That's Ed Davey's opinion on X.
Yes.
And it's, minorities get a lot of stick. X is a dangerous place. The online right are bad. Thanks, Nige.
Yes. I mean, whatever it is it's like, but millions of people, well, most of my grandparents are past at this point, but, you know, if they were around, they'd be using social media. My parents are using social media. Sure. Old people use, even old people, everybody is using social media, not to mention all of the young. It's just that he doesn't understand it, because he's a man who watches GB News and probably a bit of BBC and ITV, and he reads the broadsheet newspapers.
Yeah.
That's his world, and he thinks he can just write off online. But that is the people of Britain.
And the fact that they're now scrapping with Basil and whoever else on their official feeds, and Farage is like, yeah, no, X is a terrible... Well, it shows that actually it matters, right? There is a voice, the authentic voice of the British people is coming out in these platforms.
There's nothing fundamentally different between X and the comment sections on those broadsheet newspapers that he reads. If you go to the comment section on their website, it's all the same stuff as X.
Yeah, it's Daily Mail.
It's not curated through careerists. Yeah. He has come to believe that the curated careerist channel of opinion that is get shaped and is allowed onto, he thinks that is British opinion. No, it's the British opinion is the opinions that we all hold. Social media just shows it. And the more that he does this, the more he recognises. So the more that the voters recognise that he is just not, he's not going to give them anything they want.
No, but also he's there subtly signalling, when you say things like, "Well, this is dangerous." Well, if it's dangerous, action needs to be taken. Mm-hmm. What he's saying, is Keir Starmer, shouldn't you be doing something about this?
Yeah, why don't you crack down on free speech a bit more? I mean, Tories did it. Why can't you do it?
And Elon has not been Nigel Farage's biggest fan recently.
Well, he was.
He was.
Until he met him.
And he was, Nigel Farage isn't the guy.
Yes.
And it turns out he's right. Nigel Farage is essentially folding himself back in to the mainstream here. Now, is that...
Best of luck.
You can see in the puff pieces that he's getting in, say, the Times here. Isn't that remarkable? Like, a big, long puff piece in the Times. Where it's just, we accept Nigel Farage because he's all for the same things. Look at that. Just how much would you have to pay for the Times to publish propaganda like this in your favour?
They pick some really good photos of him as well.
It's amazing.
I mean, the next one is him going to be distributing 5,000 bushels of bread at the
just Nigel just looking dreamy in a cafe or something like that. You know, but these are like it's completely.
Oh, this is an endorsement.
Completely an endorsement, right? The establishment have realised Nigel Farage isn't the wide-eyed radical.
Well, it works.
Sorry?
It works.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was going for this.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, right? So you can see him, he's saying, no, X is a problem. My official social media is a fighting with the online right, and I've been completely subsumed back into the mainstream. So now, rather than getting hostile media coverage and leveraging that to my advantage, now I'm getting positive media coverage and hoping that the people that for decades have been propagandized by these very same media outlets will suddenly switch over and go, no, actually, I thought that Farage guy was all right after all. When they were calling him a Nazi, when they were saying he was a child fascist, when they were calling him all sorts of things, and over Brexit and all the things I've been trained to hate him for, maybe I can just flip.
I mean, I'd have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure that more British people are on X than are reading British newspapers at this point. And if I'm on any doubt about that, I have no doubt whatsoever when it comes to Facebook.
Oh, definitely Facebook. Facebook isn't like an explicitly political platform like X. X is just basically a political platform at this point.
But there's a lot of political content on Facebook. Yeah.
So Farage is attacking all of the patriots in defense of his minorities. He's getting his puff piece write-ups in the Times. Is it working? Is he getting those people across? Well, not really. Britain, vote share by demographic group. Well, retired, they're going conservative, but 35% of them are going reform. Rural, conservative, but 30-something percent of them going reform. No degree, 30-something percent. Hindus, 20%. More of them are going to conservatives.
Right.
Women, 25%. Young people, definitely not. Blacks, 9%. Muslims, 5%. Didn't work, did it, Nige?
And he puts all of his energies into those last two categories.
He puts a lot of energy into those.
Yeah.
Look at all the Muslims I have around me in my party. Look at all the foreigners I have running as my councillors.
Yes.
And they're just like, no thanks.
But I mean, given his whole mission is to replace the Conservative Party, you can see that this is more like a photocopy of a photocopy. He's lost the fidelity of it.
Yep. But it didn't work.
No.
And this is the point. And so it's a complete waste of time and effort. And he still hasn't managed to oust the Conservatives as the boomer pension party.
Mm.
Somehow they're still strikingly ahead.
Mind you, if you add them up, look at that though.
It's the 2019.
Oh, okay,
is what it is now. But still,
if you look at modern, as in the last set of opinion polls,
yeah,
who the boomers are going for?
They're still going for the Conservatives.
Yeah. Well, no, it's both of them. The reform and the Conservatives. Those two alone account for by far and away most of the.
Yeah, we covered it the other week, didn't we?
Mm.
Anyway, so how's this working out? Well, not brilliantly. There have been some notable defections from councillors from Reform to Restore, because a lot of them, they write quite in-depth little articles on Twitter explaining, look, I'm not happy with any of this. Right? This is not the patriotic party that is for the British people. Here's another one. Councillor Roger Tarrant, where he says, look, I'm stepping down as deputy group leader for Reform UK at Cornwall Council. And joining Restore Britain under the leadership of Rupert Lowe in response to feedback from my constituents and a commitment to uphold my principles. This, I mean, again, they're really explaining completely transparently.
Well, I mean, we talked about how badly Nigel Farage treated the online right. Our treatment has been blissful compared to the treatment that people who work for Reform got.
Well, yes. I mean, that's exactly what he says here,
yes.
In fact, right? So he says, concerns raised by members, activists, and group leaders have not been adequately addressed. Volunteer county organisers operate without consulting elected reform councillors. In many cases, have interfered with council business, resulting in the disillusionment and departure of members. Head office is aware of ongoing challenges regarding regional director and national director, but has not affected change. Reform UK has not demonstrated a commitment to allowing talent to rise on merit and continues to recruit politicians from other parties. Same parties that failed the people of this country over the past 20 years. Consequently, I'm out. I'm going to Restore, because that's where I belong. That's where the decent people are. Mm. And so we get to the battle for Great Yarmouth.
Ooh. Right.
So let's quickly check in on the polls.
Yep.
Yep, there's been the notable decline, and still on 24%. Restore Britain still on 4%. Things haven't changed tremendously, but this is not great. Right, for Reform, obviously.
Right.
And Restore Britain, just over a month old now. So, not a bad start. Mm. Again, Nigel Farage's 1% prediction failed already.
Yes.
And Restore has been just turning up in other polls unprompted. So, at 3% on this Ipsos one, where, again, they weren't prompted or anything like that.
And it's quite difficult to show up on these polls, because you have to click through. Because you can just click any of those top ones, is one click. If you want to make a point of you have to be really making the point. You have to click other, then you need to, you know, either and then a drop down field or just write it in or something like that. But it's hard work. So to show up on an unprompted poll is difficult.
And this is obviously not the first time this has happened. Mm. In fact, it keeps happening. So it shows that this does have some teeth. And when prompted, well, there was a poll here by I think was it Find Out Now, where they were on 9%.
Yeah, 9%. That is liftoff. That is a takeoff moment. That is a whisker behind the Lib Dems, and that's after like whatever it is, a month and a half now.
Yeah, there's no reason not to prompt Restore at this point.
Well, and people complain because this poll was commissioned by Restore and prompted, but and it did the prompting, but the methodology of the poll is the same.
Yeah, and the only objection is that, well, you commissioned it, so they prompted you. It's like, yeah, but why aren't you prompting them? You're prompting everyone else. Like, this is obviously a serious political
force. It's not favourable to restore. It's just equal with the other parties. Right. That's the only change.
When placed on a level playing field, Restore Britain are now 9%. Exactly the issue. And this is the irony of them saying, well, they're prompting for you. It's like, but you're prompting for all the rest.
Yep.
You didn't prompt for any. Do you think you'd be getting those numbers?
I mean, a biased poll would be when they prompt for reform and nobody else. So restore and nobody else.
Yeah, but that has
a bit like at the moment they just... But, you know, it's just an equal footing. And it gives you this result, which is 9%, which is fantastic.
Again, a month, not even a month and a half. Incredible. Mm. Incredible work, by the way, by everyone involved. We're going to win, basically.
Yeah.
And just in case you didn't know, we're members and supporters of Restore Britain, just to be crystal clear about it. But this isn't our data. And they have the actual data in here as well, right? So what was really interesting about this, if I can, there we are, Restore Britain. So all over it was 9%. So 9% men, 9% women. That's interesting. An even split between men and women.
That is actually unusual.
That's very unusual. I mean, look at Reform, 25-15.
Right.
Look at, like, Labour's more female. Conservatives are slightly more male. But Restore is actually no...
No, Conservatives are more female than...
Sorry, I meant more female.
Yeah.
Restore, even split. It's like, no, it's 9% of women, 9% of men. 9% of 18 to 29s.
Look, so fully represented amongst the young people.
Yep.
Which is good.
Completely even representation there. But 11% 30 to 39.
Okay.
10% 40 to 54. 12% 55 to 64. Right, so you've got here a sort of elder millennial Gen X cohort who realise, oh no, the country's gone to hell. It's like we've been saying, it's people about our age who are like, no, we just have to seriously start getting involved now.
You know what this is? This is the mums and dads party. This is the parents party.
That's exactly what I've been saying, isn't it?
This is people looking at the world, because those people, I mean, I think over 30, I mean, they will have the inkling of a memory of a Britain before this, before the Blairite revolution.
And there's people in their 40s like us who are like, oh no, Britain used to be amazing.
Yeah, but certainly the 40s and definitely the 50s and early 60s, those people, they remember... They fulfill two criteria mainly. One, they have children. Mm-hmm. Two, they remember a better world.
Yeah.
And they want that better world for their children. And they're the ones that are strongest for this. With the young people, or some of the... And the thing is, what's going to happen, though, is the younger people, they're going to twig. Why is it my parents' generation, who want the best for me, are supporting this?
Yes.
Oh, because they want the best for me.
Trust us. Yeah. There's something intangible, metaphysical,
yes,
that has been stripped away from this country, and we can feel it.
Yes.
Like, it used to be better than this. A lot better in certain ways. But look at the, like, 7% and 5% for pensioners, basically. They're still locked up with the Conservatives.
The retirees but do a lot of them not like this.
But again, the Conservatives still ahead of Reform. Yes. And so I think it's worth us talking about the boomer question.
Yeah, we should talk, because comments were made in the last podcast, and I did have a look at the comments, and they weren't happy. Let me be clear to the distinguished grey-haired individuals watching this, the boomers. When we make a comment about the boomers, we don't literally mean all of you, right? We mean the median boomer who votes on those the median boomer here is going to be a conservative or a reform voter. Yeah. Like, so when we make statements about categories, so for example, I mean, I remember in previous episodes, and maybe even this episode, we said that young people are stupid and they vote green. Right. We don't literally mean that every single person under 25 is stupid and vote greens. We mean that the median under 25 is stupid and vote green.
Which
we can see from this data. And when we say that the median boomer is selfish and only cares about their pension, if that doesn't apply to you... Well, that doesn't apply to you. We're not literally talking about all of you, and we don't feel the need to make this distinction when we're talking about people under 25 or any other category.
Unfortunately, this is one of the problems about talking about categories and classes.
Yes.
Is when you have to speak in broad generalities, and just for the sake of what we are doing here by the process of categorization, means that we can't caveat absolutely everything we say.
Well, we We'd never make it through the docket if we...
Exactly. Yeah. But, I mean, if you're watching this podcast, then there's a fairly high chance you're obviously not one of the ridiculous, selfish boomers who's like, no, I don't care how much wealth I have to suck out of the young generations.
All I want is my gibs, my welfare.
Yeah. You're obviously not one of those people. So we apologise for speaking broadly, but the thing is, broadly speaking, these things are true.
Yes.
But that's not every individual case, and of course, if you're watching us, then we understand that you have a much more high-minded view of what is happening here, and you are much more aware of the actual problems.
Okay. So now we've defended the boomers, let's attack them, because what what the hell is only 7%, well, between, say, 6% of them, why are only 6% of them like, yeah, I want what's best for my grandkids? Why is it overwhelmingly? So if you look at the reform line and the... Yeah, it's over half of them are just like, no. I just want to vote for a pension party.
I'm going to assume that it's a lack of coverage. Because remember, these people are watching GB News, they're watching the BBC, and so the only right-wing party they get to hear about is Reform. Because, of course, GB News have a moratorium on Rupert Lowe and
Restore. I mean, there's definitely boomers online, I know, because all of the boomers that I know are online.
Yeah, same.
And I mean, to a degree. I mean,
All of the boomers I know are hardcore Rupert Lowe fans, right?
Yes.
My auntie is a boomer, and she keeps coming up to me and telling me how all of her friends are just like, have you heard of this Rupert Lowe chap? He seems pretty good. Mm. And so it's not that there isn't motion in the boomers as a sort of class. It's just that the overwhelming majority get their news from somewhere like the Daily Mail or GB News.
Well, and I suppose that goes to show why Reform and Conservatives are dominant amongst them.
Yeah, absolutely. I genuinely think it does.
Where's Reform amongst the young? Let's have a look. So Reform are 60%. Very strong in retirees and people who are about to retire, and then basically just cascades down, doesn't it?
Yeah, they're not strong at all in millennials. Which isn't a surprise, but 16%, I mean, that's not terrible. That's a lot better than the Conservatives are doing.
Yeah, 16% in the under 29s, that's just because they're stupid and they don't know anything. And, you know, that's why 16% of them are going for Reform and 37% of them are going for the Greens.
Well, the plus side,
not all young people, I should stress, but then I don't need to give that.
9% of them are very switched on, handsome, and clever.
Yes.
And I imagine that 9% can grow significantly. So, anyway, the point being, it's a very interesting split across the Restore supporters. And again, 9% is just a superb start at this point. And conversely, Farage is on his worst approval ratings ever, actually. Since becoming an MP, he's now below minus 20. Keir Starmer on minus 40, remember. So he's got a bit of a way to go till he gets to that point. But that's not great. Right? Nigel Farage always had about minus sort of 10 or 15 because he was a very well-known figure, but that's getting worse. Not great.
I'd love to know what these would have been in England's sort of high watermark in the sort of late Victorian era, the Georgian era.
Where Nigel Farage would have been.
No, where leadership approval would have been. I mean, even if you weren't a supporter of Gladstone, would you have said, well, yes, but he's a fine gentleman and he's doing
his best?
Well,
you probably would have said something like that.
Yes.
I mean, you can disagree with Pitt the Younger's foreign policy, but you can't deny that he was a serious person who was taking the interests of the country to heart.
But right? All of our leaders, people have a negative view of them.
I do like Keir Starmer's drop-off here, though. He began with a 20% approval rating.
So how low can this go? Does it max out at minus 100%, does it?
Yeah, that means literally every single person in the country hates your guts.
Okay.
I mean, if you had literally, because it's just the support with the negative removed,
right?
So if you've got fewer supporters than you do haters, then you get a negative score. So I mean, it could be minus 100, and there's always a percentage who are like, don't know, right?
Mind you, I do disapprove of all of these figures, but I could imagine left wing leaders who I would approve of. I just probably wouldn't vote for. Like really, who is it? Is it the SDP?
Yep, William Colston.
William Colston. He's a good chap.
Yep.
And if he was the leader of the left wing opposition party, I would give him an approval.
Yeah.
I would vote for Rupert over him.
Yeah, but
I would approve of him.
Yeah, if William was leading the Labour Party, that'd be fine.
Yes. Why can't we have leaders that we approve of even if we don't support them?
I don't know, but as you can see, everyone's taking a tumble here. Yes. Literally everyone is on the downswing. Like, Zach Polanski had a moderately sort of neutral approval rating, but that's because people had never heard of Zach Polanski.
Yes.
And the more people are being exposed to Zach Polanski, you can see the lower his approval rating.
What's not a lot like about teaching kids how to use drugs, scrapping fossil fuels, and I could go through it.
Open banning borders, zoos. Banning horse racing? Is that really a priority?
Yeah.
Banning horse racing? Like, it's mental. Absolutely mental. So anyway, so the point being is that everyone's on the downturn. Nobody in politics is really very well liked as it stands. And you get very interesting things like this. This is in in Northumberland, where Reform managed to lose to the Tories.
Hmm.
That's not what should be happening. How is
That shouldn't be happening.
It's quite a significant swing there as well.
Yeah.
The Conservatives gain from Reform. That's not how this is meant to be going, Nigel.
Hmm.
Why did you take all those Tories in?
Well, people are now concluding, well, if I vote for the Tory, he'd probably be a Reform guy soon, so, you know, he might as well not bother.
Or, if I vote for Reform, I'm just getting the Tories anyway.
Yes.
So I may as well just vote for the
Tories. I might as well go for the real thing, yeah.
So, who knows, right?
Why would you bother with the knockoff Gucci handbag? You might as well go for the real thing.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. Why would I want ersatz Conservatives when I could vote for a Conservative if for some reason you feel inclined to? Anyway, I thought we'd just pick this just random poll. Here's just a random poll where, I mean, it's pretty brutal, to be honest. So Reform on 26%, Greens on 20%, Conservatives 17%, Labour 16%, Lib Dems 11%. Brutal. Absolutely brutal. And that's what it looks like mapped out. So Reform not even scraping there.
Not a majority, is it?
No, there's not a majority there. The Conservatives and Labour. Look at Labour on 12. Absolutely crushed.
12, yes.
Again, this is just random poll by Find Out Now. So who knows? But I did notice something.
Yeah, it could be this.
No, so what's that dark blue blob in the bottom right? Zoom. Yeah. Enhance. Interesting how that stays restore. So this is something that people have noticed, and Connor posted this, but he sent me some screenshots in the group chat, so right. I can validate what he is saying here, because there are moles inside Reform HQ, and I can't say.
There most certainly are, yes.
Yeah. In the, was it Millbank Tower, is it? Yeah. So there are moles in there, and I've seen the messages, so I can confirm these. But as Connor says, hearing from sources within Reform, the party plans to throw the kitchen sink at Great Yarmouth next week in an effort to gamble hard on killing the restored baby in the cradle. Reform will send party members that the public won't recognise rather than senior Tory defectors to tell Great Yarmouth locals that restore are nasty right-wingers. Because that's all they've got. What are they going to be like? Yeah, you know that Rupert Lowe's a racist, don't you?
So how does that work? They knock on the door and say, "Hi, I'm from Reform." Yeah, you know all the things that we said that we're going to do. Yeah, well, they're actually going to do them. So don't vote for them because they're going to do the things that we have tried to convince you that we will do.
That Nigel Farage has just tweeted he's about to do.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Right. There's an air of desperation. As I said, attempt to strangle the baby in the crib. And the thing is, that is a concern, right? That if they are able to, and this is for the general election, by the way, not for the local elections, but they're also trying it for the local elections as well.
Well, presumably this attempt is for the local elections.
It will be for both. They are also doing this for the local elections, but this particular map is for the general election. But they can tell that there's a problem, right? They can tell.
If Reform wants to do this, we just get Jeremy Clarkson to run in Clacton or something.
I mean, that would be funny.
Whatever it is. But if they really want to pick this fight...
Well, they are going to pick this fight.
Okay.
Right? Because think about this...
It's going to blow up on them like everything else they do.
Think about this from Reform's perspective.
Yeah. Right?
So, okay, we thought we could leave our right flank unguarded.
Yes.
But actually, something quite scary has appeared out of that, which is a man who is very popular and just doesn't care that we're going to call him a racist. And so we know... That he is holding the winning hand.
Yes.
We've got to make sure he can't play it. So if we can actually snuff them out now, make sure they don't win the local councillors. By the way, Restore are going to try and win every local council seat in Great Yarmouth, by the way. They I mean, remember Great Yarmouth First, which is the sub-party they're running it on. They were polled in Great Yarmouth the other day, and they got 44% of all of the people on that poll. You know, people like, oh yeah, no, I like the idea of Great Yarmouth First. And so it's like, no, they're going for the whole thing, right? And so Reform, yep. This is their one chance. If they can make sure they don't get those council yes. seats, and Rupert maybe loses his seat at the next election, that's that threat gone. They yes. need...
And then they can move back to the left.
Then they can go wherever they want, because they're just going to be the only alternative, the default alternative, which is why I think Farage did so well back in 2025.
The other part of the strategy here is where does it say it? They're sending party members the public won't recognise, because they don't want their fingerprints on if this fails.
Yes.
And it's probably going to fail. So what they're doing is we're going to place a side bet here. And if it works, we're going to spend 3 months publicising the hell out of it. And we're going to be talking about it all the time. If the side bet doesn't work, we will quietly never, ever mention this again.
Yes, because it can blow up in their faces as well.
And it will.
Because as Connor's shown, they are going to be spending significant resources on Rupert Lowe. Because I can see this is a threat. We're going to try and take him out. Well, if they don't take him out, and actually it does, you know, get revealed that they spent huge significant resources, well, that's a tremendous blow in prestige to Reform. Not only did they look like they were playing, like, you know, dirty tricks, which they are, obviously. So just be prepared, folks, by the way, for the dirty tricks. But it will also make them look useless, right?
And all of this is because Rupert Lowe said that he would deport the rape gang communities, and Nigel Farage had a hissy fit, made up a crime against him, tried to get him arrested and jailed and kicked out of the party.
And he admitted it
to protect the rape gang communities. That's what this all begins with.
It's a really weird hill to die on. It's like him saying, oh, all of yeah. my minority candidates are getting racist abuse on X. It's like, why do you have so many minority candidates? Yes. Why are you standing in defense of the rape gangs? What is it about these communities that is obsessive for you? Anyway, so the rumors of who they were going to send to Great Yarmouth to contest it were Matt Goodwin. Because apparently...
Matt GBT bad loss. Well, I bet Rupert's really quaking in his boots now that the great election winner Matt Goodwin is charging towards him.
Yeah, as you can see from Lewis's transcript here. Hi, Lewis. You got this answer phone message. My name's Lucy. I'm calling from the Reform Party. We'd like to invite you to an event this weekend. Matt Goodwin will be coming to Great Yarmouth to do some leafleting, and afterwards there'll be food and drinks and a live Q&A with Matt Goodwin. If you're able to join us, go on down. I mean, that's... That's interesting. And then Ian Dale tweeted, I understand sources close to Reform that senior party bigwigs are planning to parachute Matt Goodwin to fight Rupert Lowe in Great Yarmouth at the next election. So he's going down there to leaflet, and then he'll be standing opposite Rupert Lowe.
Oh, no.
As Ian points out, that would be quite the spectacle to watch. Knowing Great Yarmouth well, I am not wholly convinced Goodwin would go down well there. Bring out the popcorn.
Oh, well, I'll put my serious face on now. Oh, no, Reform, that's really bad. Don't do that, because... Oh, with that, that's really worrying if you send Matt Goodwin.
I have some bad news, though.
Right.
Matt Goodwin said no. I will not be the parliamentary candidate, but that doesn't mean he's not going canvassing, but I suspect he's probably not either. Matt Goodwin has rejected that this is the case. But the thing is...
That was so funny, though.
I suspect it probably was the plan until it got leaked.
Mm.
And then it's like, oh, wait, everyone's laughing at this. Yeah. Probably not.
I mean, where do you go for Matt Goodwin? I mean, who's next? Because the only people that are allowed to be in the party are...
Yusuf?
Well, yeah, I suppose it would be, wouldn't it? Yeah.
I mean, obviously they're not going to...
I mean, literally, that's the only other Reform person that I can mention who doesn't already have a parliamentary seat.
Yeah.
No,
Sarah Poachin has one. Dean Dorries?
There was that Tory guy, the vaccine guy.
Nadeem Zahawi.
Yeah, Nadeem Suhail. Send him.
I'm sure that'd go even better.
Yeah, send him to Great Yarmouth.
Yeah. So things are looking weird for reform, right? There's this general sense of insecurity. like we say here, like okay, they're afraid of reform, restore, and they want to strangle the baby in the crib, which is lovely. And then you've got people like, oh no, come down, Matt Goodwin's going to be leafleting with you. His star power will draw you in.
Well, and food and drinks.
And food and drinks.
Yes.
And then you've got this, which is a bit weird. So look at this. Anything about this that strikes you as a bit odd? Look at the eyes. And look at the fingers.
I'm getting AI vibes, but...
Then look at the vote reform signs, which are all slightly different. Yeah. Richard Tice, for some reason, published an AI-generated image of reform...
Well, it must be AI, because it's got native people in it.
Well, I mean, there are still Indians.
Well, yeah. I mean, AI can only go so far. So much an $80 billion data center can get you as far away from reality as that.
Well, remember, the AI just scrapes data off the internet. It's like, well, what's the average reform candidate like?
Yes.
That's an Indian.
That will soon be updated.
But yeah, so why would you be doing that, though? I mean, A, this isn't even good.
No. Right?
This isn't even convincing. Look at the weird fingers. Like this, you know.
Oh, yeah, that guy's got three fingers and they're really long.
Yeah.
Oh, and his right arm, he has two hands. Oh, no, that's the other guy's sign. Oh,
yeah, but what's going on with this guy's eyes? All their eyes are closed and, like, weirdly misaligned and things like this.
Maybe the reason their eyes are closed is because Matt Goodwin is taking the picture.
I mean, maybe. Mm. But anyway, obviously fake. So it's like, why would you need to put out fake AI pictures? Like, if you're such a popular party, if you've got no problem, why wouldn't you just have dozens and dozens of people all around all the time? And it's because it kind of speaks to this etherealness underneath the party. Yeah, you've got the flashy gimmicks, you've got the roadshow of the boomers, but what do you have underneath it? And the answer is, well, not much, right?
Mm.
Conversely, our lads have been out campaigning in Great Yarmouth for Rupert Lowe, and they've been finding this sort of stuff. It's just like Anglo just parked next to a picture of Rupert Lowe in a car. And a bunch of them have been out doing great work. And I know this because I watched Breakfast with Beau this morning.
Yeah.
And I can't remember his...
Oh, yes, that chap.
Yeah, that chap. Yeah, he gave us an update on what things are like on the ground. So from his experience, and I recommend you go watch this episode because it's really good. He's found about 50 to 60% of people that he interacted with, handing out leaflets, having conversations with them, asking them who they're going to vote for, were completely well disposed to Rupert Lowe. And it's just like the BBC when they went down there and they're trying to find someone to speak bad about Rupert Lowe. Everyone's like, no, he's great. He actually helped me with a problem. No, I really like the fact that he gives his salary away to a local charity and things like this. Mm. It's like, yeah, but it turns out if you actually do things for the constituency, people like you in the constituency. I mean,
what a forgotten concept that is.
Yeah, I know. Imagine actually helping the people you've been elected to represent.
As is your job.
So actually, I think things are going quite well for Restore, but... like we said, reform are going to pull out all the dirty tricks. I think there's been a lot of resources in this. So if you are in the area and are able to lend a hand by just walking around, posting leaflets through doors, do get in contact. If you're a Restore member, you would have got an email today saying there are going to be two big action days where they want to get as many people together as they can, summon the feared, and put leaflets through doors. So on May the 2nd and May the 7th, which is the day of the election, if you can go and help out, get in contact with them, go down to Great Yarmouth and do your part, basically. There isn't big money behind Restore. There is big money behind Reform.
Yes.
And we know the direction of travel and how they're diverging from one another.
And of course, Restore is so new that they haven't been able to stand up candidates yet. So they're not contesting this election, I don't think, in many places.
No, it's just Great Yarmouth. And actually, this is a very smart move, right? Mm. So, there are lots of people, they're not even contesting every seat in the country. It's like, well, it's a month old.
Yes.
The
amount of logistics of contending, the right thing to do is focus on the next general election.
Exactly. The right thing to do is focus on the next general election. But with this one, actually, it's a good litmus test.
Yes.
Can Restore develop an electoral machine with a ground game,
yes,
that can win local councils. And actually, this is a great... So targeting the seat that Rupert is already strong in, getting loads of people in, hopefully doing a really good job.
Oh, and learn the lessons.
Learn all of the lessons, but hopefully have a comprehensive victory. Because I think there were eight council seats that were up for grabs, and Restore are hoping to win them all. And God willing, they will, right? Because, you know, if everyone goes down, if you've got any free time, just go down. I mean, Great Yarmouth's lovely anyway. Like, it's just a big beach town, basically. It's absolutely lovely. Go down and help out.
Yeah, because they absolutely should if you're anywhere near Great Yarmouth. But if you're not near Great Yarmouth, I would encourage everybody who watches this and who's on board with the project to start thinking about
what can you
could I run for Restore at the next election? And if you're not, and that you're fine if you're not, but could you support somebody who's running for Restore?
You can go at the and get next involved. Election? They've got a branch finder now, so if you just type in Restore Britain branch finder, you'll find it in Google.
Right.
Find your local branch, and if you have a free afternoon on a weekend,
yes.
Get some leaflets.
I keep seeing people posting about their local Restore branch meetings, and it's not weird or anything. It's just a bunch of people like us.
It's all totally normal, and they're all really well attended as well.
Mm.
So you can see there's a great deal of energy there. And this the thing about the Great Yarmouth thing. It's like the reception that our lads have found out there has just been incredible. Like, people are just so well disposed to Restore that we really have an obligation to get the message out there, because the more we get the message out, the more people will come over and the quicker our victory will happen. Yes. So go and help out where you can, folks, because you know, everyone's got to do their part. I'm personally organizing the Swindon branch, just so FYI. I'm not like, you know, oh, go and do that. No. I'm doing my part. I'm doing everything that we have to do. So you guys have to do the things you have to do. Go and help them out. Everyone's really, as far as I can tell as well, what I find is really interesting is that it's exactly the same. Everyone's normal, and I've yet to encounter some giant ego problem, right? Reform is, you can feel the giant egos involved in it, and there's a kind of a general sense of grift in it, whereas in Restore, it's a general sense of graft. It's those people like, no, we just need to get on. We just need to get the work done.
Well, the Restore message is it's going to be incredibly difficult but necessary. It's a fundamentally different message.
Yes, absolutely different. And the, you know, when we win, you will know you have done your part. So anyway, we'll see you in the next conversation. Go and find the local Restore branch. Help out. Do what you can. We're going to win this.